Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 21 of the Ash Bros podcast. Todd here with Peter. So excited to bring you guys another episode here of the Ash Bros podcast. We got a lot to sort through today and talk about a lot of things that have been going on in the NFL over the last couple of weeks. And it should be a really fun one to dive into. Peter, as always, it's great to have you. Obviously, me and you doing this. How are you doing today, man?
Doing great, man. Crazy week, man. Crazy last, I don't know, whatever that week 15 was, it was just kind of sickening and crazy. I don't know, major injuries, some unfortunate things, but yeah, what a crazy week in the NFL, man. You never know what's going to happen in this league. Any given Sunday really was taken literally last week. It's just, you really never know, right? And yeah, man, just a lot of chaos, man. Let's get into it.
Yeah, you mentioned there's a lot of injuries to players, big time players this past week. Starting Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately tore his ACL late in their game against the Chargers, and the Chiefs lost that game to the Chargers 16-13, and with that loss, officially means they'll miss the playoffs for the first time since 2014, when I was back in elementary school still, so it's been a long time. It's obviously a really tough loss for the Chiefs, not even just like for the rest of the season, they're going to miss the playoffs anyways, but losing Patrick Mahomes to that injury is obviously super unfortunate. And we just obviously hope that he has a speedy recovery. But I'm curious, Peter, what do you think this injury is going to have in terms of, like, the impact it's going to have on the Chiefs moving forward as they build for, like, next offseason and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's tough. It's kind of a bit of an end of an era, if you say. I won't say the dynasty is completely done, but it definitely took a major halt this past Sunday. And it's tough, man. You hate to see, you know, not just anybody, but one of the best quarterbacks in the league get injured like that in the same fashion that he did. He was basically putting the team on his back, and it was just too much at the end of the day. And you mentioned the organization and kind of what they have to do going forward. I think Andy Reid, right, management, and everyone has to kind of take a look in the mirror and see what went wrong. And it starts from, obviously, the trench play, right? Their offensive line kind of letting everything go to waste, right? Trading Joe Tooney. Everyone's like, oh, they're big-braining themselves, and they're kind of fixing things. And it's like, no, you can't just make things worse. And now you're doing, you're mixing-matching left tackles and right tackles here and there. And it's like, all right, well, like, now you don't have the foundation. Everything that started with Mahomes and what happened when Mahomes first came in to the league about almost 10 years ago now, is you saw exactly what was happening there, right? Everyone talks about, oh, the two Hall of Fame pass catchers he had. But no, the trench play was always really good. The offensive line was good. He came to a situation that was very, very good for him. Instead, this year, you look at, like, it's just basically a bunch of rags. I'm not trying to be mean, but, like, the offensive line was not very good. Right? The Rashee Rice stuff, right? Guys not really getting and having being super locked in into the season. Talk about Mahomes getting mad at people, you know, heading into mini camp and all this. It's like, there was just so many things that were wrong, right? Steve Spagnuolo talking about the blitzes not coming in. And it's like, what's the problem? Well, you get rid of a guy like Justin Reed and you don't really replace him with a true blitzing safety. And now guys can't beat the running back. It's like, there's just so many things that went wrong with this team. And I think now they have to go back to the drawing board and realize, hey, like, we can't just let 15 do everything by himself. Not everyone can do what Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen have done. I think people take for granted how special those guys are in the sense that, like, they kind of do a little bit with less. So well, they did really well with that. I know Aaron Rodgers, he put up the receivers he had, but defenses weren't good. Every year they had to carry the teams and he had to carry the team and do what he did to kind of help him get into the playoffs, run the table, all these things that you remember, right? And Josh Allen, what he's doing right now with the Bills, in my opinion, again, people talk about the Bills being such a great team. I think their offensive line's good, at least that's a start, but their weapons are close to the bottom of the league. They're not very good. The defense is up and down. You know what you're going to get. And he's carrying them, but not everyone can do that. And no offense to Mahomes, I think he's a great player. Do I think he's going to absolutely shoulder your team all the way to victory? He's done it in the past, and he almost did it last year, but it's like it came to a screeching halt. We saw what happened in the Super Bowl when reality finally kicked in, and reality once again kicked in this year, and now, unfortunately, they're just in a tough position. So I don't know how you feel about it, but I think they all got to look in the mirror and obviously take it step by step, because right now it's just kind of organizational malpractice, if you will, from what's been going on over these last 2 years.
No, I completely agree. And honestly, I would say, like, even – I feel like at the end of the day, no matter how great of a quarterback or player you are, like, everybody needs help at some point, right? Even Rodgers, we were running the table, and he was definitely carrying the team. And then eventually, I think a year or two later, like, the team was just really stale with Mike McCarthy, right? And then obviously they fired him, and then they brought in Matt LaFleur, and they made some free agency acquisitions as Rodgers was getting older, and they were able to make a couple NFC Championship appearances because they upgraded the team around them, right? And I think even you look at the Chiefs, I think the biggest thing for them moving forward too is drafting well. They're going to have to draft well, get some younger players in there. Because if you remember when Tom Brady, because everyone obviously loves to compare Brady and Mahomes, When he tore his ACL in 2008, how did the Patriots respond later on? I think from 2010 to 2012, they drafted guys like Rob Gronkowski, Chandler Jones, Marcus Cannon, Nate Soldier, like a lot of these offensive tackles and just really good players that they drafted, Dante Hightower as well, to really upgrade the team and bring an infusion of talent and youth in there. And they kind of kicked off the second half of the dynasty with Brady and Belichick there in New England. So I think the Chiefs are going to kind of need a similar thing there. They want to continue to keep this dynasty, you can say, rolling, in my opinion. And then another big injury that we saw, unfortunately, take place on Sunday. Micah Parsons tearing his ACL against the Denver Broncos. And obviously, he's out for the season as well. I'm curious, Peter, what do you think? Do you think the Packers still have a chance to fulfill their Super Bowl hopes this season? Or you just think maybe they can make the playoffs, but not too much when they get there?
I don't want to completely say they're out of the Super Bowl race just yet. I don't think it's not looking great at all. Yeah. I'll say that. Like, it's just, I don't see it happening. But I don't want to say it's completely over because you just never know with this NFL. I mean, it's just been such a crazy season. But, man, what a horrible loss. You and I were watching the game at home, and I remember it was crazy because I saw the play happen, and it was crazy. I was kind of looking on, and I saw him take a step, and he goes down. And I'm like, I hope he just twisted his ankle or something like that. And they throw it, and then it goes back, and the camera goes on him. And I see you look up because you didn't see the exact, like, live play. But you look up, and you just see him rolling on the ground. I look at you right away and we're like, no way. Like, yeah. There's just no way. You know, like, we're looking at each other like, oh my gosh. Just horrible, man. Horrible. The season he was having, it can't be stated enough how great his impact was on his team, right? 64 pressures. Led the NFL. 64 pressures, man. That's insane. Led the NFL on that mark. And then the rest of the Green Bay Packers team had 66 as a whole. I mean, it's just like, it can't be stated enough how, like, much he meant to this team. And it's like, I don't know. I don't see it. It's a tough, tough, tough loss. I hope he gets back. I hope he gets super healthy again and he's good to go. But yeah, it's just really tough, man. It's unfortunate, man. That was a 6-minute span for the Packers where everything just went wrong. They were up 9. Christian Watson gets hurt. Guys go to the hospital for a precautionary checkup. Parsons tears his ACL. They're coming back and winning the game. And everyone's just going kind of crazy. And it's like, you can kind of just tell from a team standpoint. It's like, it's hard to bounce back. The Packers did try to fight, but it's like, it's hard, you know, when all those things happen at once. It was like a snowball effect, almost. It was so tough. So, yeah, really tough, man. I don't see it, but I don't know how you feel about it personally, but it's just, it's a tough situation to kind of get over. I hope they can beat, and I hope they do well and make the playoffs and you never make a run, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, honestly, unfortunately, I got to agree with you. Like, the only way I see them making a deep run is if Jordan Love just goes Super Saiyan and, like, turns into a he's already a star quarterback, but just puts the team on his back and they score a bunch of points offensively, which, I mean, it could happen. They've shown flashes of it, but I wouldn't really bet on it, I guess I would say. But I think just looking at this Packers team, they dealt with a lot of injuries this year. Obviously, Tucker Kraft tearing his ACL as well earlier in the season. Now, Michael Parsons as well. I feel like this season, unfortunately, is going to be just shaping up to be a season where the Packers could have been super, but unfortunately, just going to have to settle for being a good team that just had too many missing pieces in the end, but we'll see what happens. You never know what could happen. Yeah. And just to finish off our recap from last week, we had a crazy game take place in Foxborough. The Buffalo Bills took on the New England Patriots, and this was a big game. But the Patriots won. They would have clinched the AFC East for the first time since 2019, and the Bills have won the division 5 seasons after that. So defending division champions there, and Josh Allen, the Bills came in there and they were down 21-0 to start off the game, start off very, very slowly and poorly, but they managed to somehow come back and win that game in New England to keep the division hopes alive, and inch closer as well to clinching a playoff berth. Crazy comeback by the Bills on the road to get that win. I'm curious, Peter, do you think that the Patriots are better than the Bills, or do you think the Bills are better than the Patriots just with that comeback win?
I don't know if either team's better than each other. I would say the Patriots are playing better football overall than the Bills are. And I think the Bills have Josh Allen. Like, it comes down to, it's almost like on paper, are the Patriots really better? It's like, I don't know. But they've been defying the on paper logic all season. So I can't really use that. But in a game like this where you can tell the inexperience kind of came into play, especially late in the game, I don't know exactly who said this, but there was a Bills player who after the game said it felt like the first 15 plays of the game for the Patriots were, like, perfectly scripted. Like, they knew exactly what the Bills were coming out with. They were like, oh, the Bills were like, oh, we can't do anything about this. They know what we're doing. Like, it's all kind of, It's perfect to counter what we have. So it almost felt like they had the perfect game plan. But once the game plan kind of went out of the window and the Bills kind of settled in, things changed. So again, super young team. Not really super young team, the Patriots as a whole, but young quarterback. You got a new staff in there, and they're kind of figuring things out on the fly. And the Bills showed them, hey, it's not as easy just to, you know, dog walk everybody and win games. And again, my thing with the Patriots, and I hate to say this with the Patriots and the Bills, but I'll start with the Patriots first. The Patriots haven't really played anybody great all year. They have beaten some decent teams, but it's like, for the most part, they haven't had the greatest schedule. And now they run into a team that's somewhat on their level, kind of tough, and it's like you lose a game like that. It's not easy. It's a stepping stone. So I'm not really going to blame them too much, but people have to pump the brakes a little bit when people start saying, oh, this is 100% a Super Bowl team. It's like, they can get there. Yes, I agree with that. But I'm not going to go ahead on a limb and say they're 100% a Super Bowl team. Like, I'm not taking them over Denver, as much as I'm not the biggest guy of Denver guy, but I'm not taking them over Denver. I think if they run into Houston, they'd be trouble. And you never know. I think some of these other teams that have a little bit more playoff or experience in general winning these big games or playing these big games could give them a fall. Again, they run into Buffalo one more time. I would take Buffalo in that one too. If that, I guess, kind of answers your question. But back to the Bills real quick too. It's just like Josh Allen's doing the Superman thing all year, and it's another situation where we talked about it just now with Mahomes. As much as I want to give him praise for doing that, eventually it comes down and usually crashes and burns. And unfortunately, I just think eventually it's going to happen to the Bills. I don't see them winning a Super Bowl. A lot of people are big on that. If it happens, it's because Josh Allen did something that we probably have never seen before, and he legit carried them to a Super Bowl. And people have kind of done that in terms of doing that, but to actually win a Super Bowl by basically, like, not by your damn self, but pretty dang close, would be incredibly impressive. So I hope for the Bills' sake, and I hope for Josh Allen's sake, they can, you know, do something, maybe figure some more things out and get a little better. But it's tough. To answer your question again, I don't think any team's really better than each other. But again, one has Josh Allen, one is playing better. I'm going to lean with the guy who's kind of a little bit better in one game situation. But yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I agree with that, honestly. I don't know if I see the Patriots are better than the Bills or the Bills are better than the Patriots. I think both teams are really good. I think, honestly, both teams have the best teams that they played. I agree that the Patriots have played the easiest schedule in the league, and the Bills' schedule hasn't been the toughest necessarily either. Like, I would say, honestly, yeah, the best teams each of them have played has been each other, right? Those two meetings they've had, and the Patriots won that first one, a close game, and then the Bills' game we just talked about over here. But I think both teams are pretty good, and I think, personally, just seeing how they played those two close games, a playoff matchup between these two, a rubber match, I think would be a lot of fun to watch. Either divisional round, wildcard round, AFC championship, definitely be fun for sure. Now, we're going to head into our top matchups to look forward to this coming week. Week 16, 3 weeks left in the regular season. Crazy to think about it, how it was like really we're almost in playoff mode here. And this is a playoff kind of game, I guess you can say, to start it off. Saturday night, talked about the Packers before. They're going on the road to take on the Chicago Bears in Chicago. It should be a fun one here. The Packers have a record of 9-4-1. The Bears are 10-4, so the Bears are half game ahead in the division right now. And this is the second meeting between these two teams. They met up a couple weeks back in Green Bay, and the Packers won a close one, that one, 28-21, the game-winning interception in the fourth quarter. And both teams can clinch a playoff berth if they win, and the Pittsburgh Steelers defeat the Detroit Lions on Sunday. This is a big-time game. I don't know, man. I feel like, personally, I have the Bears winning this game. You know, they put up a good fight in the first game. There was a couple moments here and there in the first half, in the first game in Green Bay, where I was like, well, honestly, the Packers, you know, could have blown that game open, but the Bears, credit to them, they stayed in the game and made some incredible plays in the second half, especially Caleb Williams, some incredible throws, and they almost pulled off the win in that one. And now this game's in Chicago. Green Bay, you know, obviously a lot of injuries we talked about, especially losing Michael Parsons. I just feel like Caleb Williams is going to make some special plays in this one. It'll be close. I think Jordan Love and the Packers will put up a fight, but I do think the Bears will win this game, and I think basically put themselves on a good track to win the NFC North and get the second seed in the playoffs in the NFC as well.
Yeah, I can see it too. It's so unfortunate, man. That injury and some of the other injuries that happened to the Packers, it's tough. I know people talk about the Bears have also been super injured lately, or even in the past with Jalen Johnson, etc. But they didn't lose a guy for a year. Like, this is like it. This is tough, man. It's as tough as it gets to lose a guy that means that much to the team. So, yeah, coming into the week, I honestly, if you told me before everything, all the injuries, I had the Packers sweeping them. I know people had a split. Most people had a split going in, but I thought that first game again, the Packers sort of dominated that game. They didn't. A lot of people, the Bears fans and Caleb Williams after the game, were saying we let them off the hook. I was just like,
it's the opposite.
I think it's the opposite. The Packers let them off the hook. And that's how it felt to me for the most part, keeping them in that game. So I thought it was going to be just an absolute kind of blowout at one point. It didn't happen. This one, I think, is going to be super close. It wouldn't shock me if the Bears pull away late and make it a little bit more, you know, just tougher to Packers and win by almost double digits, because I just don't know how everything's going. If Christian Watson can play, and he did look decent at practice today, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, looks like he's going to play.
If he plays, it's huge, and it can keep them in it. But just defensively, they got to stop the run, and losing Micah is just such a – it's such a big loss. I think people understand how good he was in the run as well this year. It's tough. I would also lean Bears, too. I'm with you on that. But, yeah, my one of my top matchups week to watch, the Buccaneers and the Panthers in the NFC South Showdown. Both the teams are 7-7. Both of them are kind of nasty, sloppy teams. To be honest with you, I hate saying nasty, but it's just true, man. They both – it's like they don't want to win the division. The Saints, who are playing good football right now, but like the Saints are playing spoiler for both of them so far. That's true. Like, hey, we're going to be both you guys, and now you guys have to beat each other and figure it out. And it's super, super tough. And there's some like situational stuff here, right? They both play each other like weeks, well, this coming week and week 18, right? And if one team sees some matchups to win the division, they both finish with the same record, the Bucs would win the division because of the tiebreak scenarios. And Tampa Bay, right now, they own the tiebreaking or preceding tiebreaking record against common opponents. They're 5-5, but the Panthers are 4-6 against common opponents. So the Bucs have the advantage if they can just even split the games. But it just, I don't know, man. It's tough because it's like, who wants the division? The Buccaneers right now, plagued by injuries. When even guys get healthy, it seems like another guy gets down and gets injured. Mike Evans had a, he went nuts last week. He was pissed of how bad things were. And I don't blame him, right? It's right, 3rd and 16 in that Falcons game. And they called cover two, but instead of protecting the six, the guy played it like 5 yards or something like that. And cut open completion to Stills. It's just like, it's just disgusting. It seems like no one really wants it. Todd Bowles basically threw everyone under the bus after that game too.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It doesn't look great. I don't know. If I'm a Buccaneers fan, I'm not too optimistic. And then on the other side, the Panthers, what are you going to get? 1 week you get Bryce Young looking like he's incredible. Next week he looks like he's kind of subpar. The run offense looks good sometimes, but then Dee Canales sometimes goes away from it. Right? You got Rico Dowdle tweeting out things after the game, like these cryptic messages. It just seems like it's a mess everywhere. And both teams don't really want it. Personally, I don't really care for each of these teams in terms of like what they're going to do going forward. But I think this is a good matchup to watch in terms of seeing who's going to be the team that lets it go first and who's going to have the biggest meltdown. That's what I'm looking forward to, because it's going to happen. It's almost guaranteed that one team will have a meltdown. So if you're into watching some chaos, I think this is the game to watch.
Yeah, I think that's an incredible game to watch for sure. For me, another matchup for me personally that I'm looking forward to watching is the Monday Night Football matchup for this week, which features the 10-4 San Francisco 49ers on the road taking the 8-6 Indianapolis Colts. The 49ers, man, they've dealt with a lot of injuries this year, but they're one win away from clinching a playoff berth. And if they win their final three games and the Seahawks defeat the Rams this week on Thursday Night Football, the 49ers will clinch a number one seed in the NFC and home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which is kind of crazy, especially because the Super Bowl is being played in San Francisco this year. So you never know. The 49ers could have a playoff road that looks like division round playoff game at home, NFC championship game at home, and then playing the Super Bowl at home too, which would be absolutely insane. I don't think that's like ever happened, having all your playoff games at home like that. But yeah, the 49ers are playing good football right now, especially offensively. They got a lot of weapons. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Brock Purdy's playing well as well. But then you look at the Colts and, you know, obviously, this big story last week was Philip Rivers, 44 years old, coming out of retirement. He's literally a grandfather, which is it's crazy. And he came out of retirement and actually looked decent against a really good Seahawks defense, and he almost won that game on the road in Seattle. But the Colts, you know, they were 7-1. They've gone 1-5 ever since then, and they're gonna have to win the last three games and get some help in order to make the playoffs, which won't be easy considering they're playing the Niners this week. Then they're also playing the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans, two division rivals that are really, I would say, red hot right now, and two teams they already lost to as well this season. But yeah, it should be a big-time game. Both teams kind of need to win it, especially the Colts, but the 49ers as well. They really want to set themselves up well, so to say, if they want to make a deep playoff run.
Man, yeah, that's an intriguing one. Philip Rivers, man, what a story.
Shout out to him, man.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And I guess the matchup that I'm looking forward to, that I'm looking forward to watching too, is the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on or going up against the Broncos. And the reason why I like this one is because I want to call this kind of the fraud bowl, if you will. And I'm not saying they're both frauds. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, who is the fraud? We're going to find out who the fraud is here, because like this is where I'm at with both of these teams, right? I think a lot of people go, oh, the Broncos, well, they started off 1-2 and then they won all these games. But then look at how they won some of these games ever since, like, you know, starting off with that record, right? Okay, cool. They've beaten, like, they have wins against the Eagles where they won by four and a comeback win. They, right? They destroyed the Bengals one time and the Bengals were a
Jake Browning time, Bengals.
Right? Jake Browning Bengals. Right? They barely beat the Jets. I know it was in London, but they barely, or Germany somewhere, but somewhere in Europe, and they barely beat them. The Giants the next week took everything in their power to beat them.
Yeah.
By 1 point, right? They crushed the Cowboys, but then it's like, okay, you beat the Texans, cool. That's a good match. That's a good win. The week after you beat the Texans, you play the Raiders. You barely beat the Raiders. And I know people can say it's a divisional matchup, but man, like, I don't know. This Chip Kelly Raiders, right? Chip Kelly's still on the team. It's just, I don't know. I don't know. They have these weird games. The Commanders game a couple weeks ago on Sunday
night. Oh, yeah.
It's just weird. They have these weird games. We're going to say luck, and then they beat the Packers last week. But, like, again, we all know how that – if you're watching that game, people take away from that game, oh, Bo Nix looked incredible. Bo Nix threw about three or four interceptable passes in that game. He threw it right to people's hands. Again, call me biased, call me whatever you want. The tape is there. He threw some really bad passes as well as he played, and our guys catch the ball. It's a different game.
Yeah.
And also, the whole game flipped on his head. When Watson gets hurt, Parsons gets hurt. Again, it's a different game. I'm not making too many excuses, but the way people are acting like, oh, it was like a sensational game by them, and it was this whole second half flip, that's not the case. It was momentum played a part.
Momentum.
Anyways, they've had some really close games against bad teams and some really good games against pretty good teams. They play their level of competition. I don't know. This is an interesting one. I can see them doing the same thing with Jacksonville, but you never know. And then on the Jags side, if you want to talk about even more weird or more kind of odd things, they won five in a row, but then these five games, it starts like this. They play the Chargers, they destroy them. The rest of the game, the Chargers, everyone basically went down and they had more injuries than ever. So they crushed the Chargers. That's cool. You barely beat the Cardinals. Cardinals right now are kind of just, they put up points, but they're not very good. You win by three. You crush the Titans, who, come on, it's the Titans. You crush the Colts, who didn't have Daniel Jones. He got injured in that game. Yeah. So you played Riley Leonard, and that's enough said, self-explanatory. And then last week, you crushed the Jets, and the Jets started, I mean, I don't even know who started for this last week. I'm pretty sure it
was Brady Cook.
Yeah. I was going to say Brady Cook, yeah. So again, it's tough. It's like, it gets to the point where now we're looking at these kind of situations in games where we're like, okay, these are two teams that have both played. I guess you beat who's in front of you, but it's like, now here we go. Let's really see what you're about. It's a big game. It's in Denver. Jacksonville, I think, is going to have a harder time to win this game. I think the Broncos win it. But it wouldn't shock me at all if Jacksonville gets the job done. And then if you're the Broncos, you're going to have to look in the mirror and you're going to have to say, hey, like, we can't be playing around with our food too much. Right? On paper, and how Denver has been playing and how Bo Nix looks, you know, over the last couple weeks, they should win this game. But it's definitely interesting. I think, again, we're going to really see, truly see and feel who the fraud is right now, because if one of these teams don't show up and it looks bad, or maybe they're kind of doing all these sloppy things, it's like, okay, well, maybe we can't trust you in the playoffs. Because these are both most likely playoff teams. It's going to be very interesting to see who gets over the top in this one. I don't know if I truly trust any of these teams, but I do lean Broncos a little bit more. But, man, it's tough. I think this one's going to really tell us a little bit of a story heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I would lean with Denver in this one to win it as well, mainly because they're at home, to be honest. But, I mean, this could be even a potential playoff matchup as well between these two teams. But, yeah, both of these teams have enjoyed really, really good regular seasons. But, as you mentioned, not the most impressive resumes, I guess you can say, in their own respective ways. But it should be an interesting matchup here for sure. You know, Bo Nix against Trevor Lawrence, two young, talented quarterbacks. Sometimes struggle with consistency, but they've been really obviously playing well recently. So should be a good matchup there in Denver, and should be a fun one to watch this Sunday for sure. With that being said, we thank you guys all for listening to episode 21 of the Ash Bros podcast. A lot of fun. Me and Peter had so much fun just talking about all these amazing topics heading to week 16 of a just crazy NFL season. We're excited for this week's slate of games, and should be a fun one to watch, and we're excited to see you and talk to you guys again in the next one. Peace.